Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Welcome in. This is Country Roads Confidential at earsports.com, a CBS sports podcast. It's Tuesday. It's our first podcast of the week. Chris, we're late because the Big 12 was late. But at long last, we have a football schedule. Happy birthday to you.
Yes, thank you. We had planned on a podcast earlier, at least earlier in the day, maybe even Monday, and then weren't sure. I mean, we had a few things to talk about, but then as soon as we saw this was coming out Tuesday afternoon, we're like, might as well wait, because that is all anybody's going to want to talk about. And we're literally recording this moments after the schedule comes out. So you and I are about to react again, quite literally, instantly to what we're looking at here. Pretty quickly, there's some things that pop up in my mind. So I'm interested in this pod, Mike. I'm interested in making this pod, and I hope that means that people are interested in listening to this pod.
So frequently in schedules for teams that are in peril have what they call not a bye week, not an open week, but a bye-bye week. And if an athletic director is feeling froggy, he might leap, because if something goes bad in a Saturday and the team is off the following Saturday and you have a game the Saturday after that, well, Chris Anderson, there's room to make a move there if the schedule allows. We've seen this before countless times. West Virginia has experienced a few times before. I remember West Virginia absolutely knew Charlie Weiss was not going to make it to town for the game the year that he got fired, because they were off the week. And sure enough, they got to a bad start. They had an open week. They canned them. Chris, there's no open week on this game, which means little guarantees nothing, but I don't have to explain the significance of there not being the bye-bye week on the schedule. But for the second straight year, they really don't have an open week. They have a Thursday night game in between, so they will play September 30th and then October 12th. Now, Mike, they're off on October 7th. They are, but they're not. They can't go home. They can't do anything. They're actually going to practice that weekend because they play 2 days earlier the following week. They will turn their Monday into a Saturday. They will turn their Tuesday into a Sunday. Everything gets moved up 2 weeks, so they don't have that weekend. And then the following weekend, sure, they play the 12th. They can give them the weekend off, but it's a road game on a Thursday. They're back on Friday. I doubt very much people are going to be going anywhere or able to go anywhere because they play the 21st. Against Oklahoma State. So they'll get right back to business pretty much after they get back to campus and close the book on Houston here. Man, that's a heck of a break. It's a bad break too.
Yeah, I'd be, if I were the coach, I'd be furious. I mean, that's just, if I were a player, I'd be furious. As you noted, like, you're going to be, your weekend that's supposed to be an off week that you're supposed to be getting rest. Maybe you get to go home, see your family, see your girlfriend, whatever. You're practicing. You're hitting Mondays and Tuesdays are practice days. And then Yeah, the Houston game is away Thursday night, so they will get home and get back in their dorm rooms at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning on Friday. I have to hop in and go to school. I haven't seen the academic calendar. I don't know if that's like fall break or something that weekend, but still, they're going to be turning right back around to watching film and getting ready for stuff. So it's going to be hard to take that whole weekend off. And like you said, and then Oklahoma State a few days later, that's just brutal. Cause you look at everybody else's schedule, 14 teams in the Big 12, 10 of them get a true bye week. West Virginia and Houston, Houston's in the same situation. They have a bye right before the Thursday night game against West Virginia. And then was it Texas Tech and TCU? We'll be doing the same thing a couple weeks later, getting a bye and then turning around and playing each other on a Thursday. But the other 10 teams, a full true bye week.
There's one Thursday game in the Big 12 this year. That's
still
it.
Two.
Who's the second one?
Yeah, TCU, Texas.
I don't have that on my grid here.
Are you sure? On 11-4. Well, I guess it's 11-2, but on the 11-4 grid.
All right, I'm looking at the Big 12 grid. It does not have that. It has TCU, Texas Tech. Okay, so two. And then there's not a lot of midweek games. There are week one games and week, I guess, final games. So, like, the first week of the season, last game of the season. There's Friday games. There's Kent State, UCF is a Thursday. Who cares? That's the first game of the season. That doesn't matter. That's just a tough spot for West Virginia to be in. You'd like to have an open week if you could. Just because, especially in the middle, you get to take a breath. There's some bit of a break there. There's more time, obviously, but that's tough. Anything else step out to you here, Chris? I have a couple, but I took the first one. What do you think?
I'd like to revisit that bye-bye conversation you're talking about there. Because if this is, you know, what you're referencing is, of course, like a head coach being fired, heading into a bye week. And look at those first five games for West Virginia. At Penn State, Duquesne should be a win versus Pitt, home against Texas Tech, and then on the road at TCU. And there's a scenario there with that. I mean, that is a tough schedule. That's four very tough games to start the year, or at least three very tough games and maybe a tough game with Texas Tech. It is at home, though, but
Have you seen Neil's record against Texas Tech?
Well, and I was about to say, and if you put out a nothing burger or whatever you want to call it on that September 23rd game against Texas Tech, like, you know, every year I do my two most pivotal games or whatever it is I call them during my countdown. And I try to go not off script, but not, you know, oh man, opening against Pitt. Like, okay, got it. But what about this game against Texas Tech in week four? Is that all of a sudden like one of the most important games of the season? Because that's a game you might have to win almost no matter what for Neil Brown to keep his job or the team to be bowl eligible or what. That is seeming like a very pivotal game already.
Okay. Last night, TCU's schedule accidentally got placed online. That will happen sometimes where you're trying to preview the graphic, make sure it looks good. They released theirs. Message board a frenzy. I was able to put together what I had from various conversations and text messages with people about the schedule. I got everything right about what I heard, except I think I swapped Oklahoma State and Kansas State. I'd heard Kansas State was on, Oklahoma State was off. That's the only one. But what I'd heard and what I reported, I think what people found to be most interesting was that West Virginia got all four of the new Big 12 teams this year, two at home, two on the road. It's kind of cool, right?
Yeah, and obviously, just the way it works out, not everybody's going to be able to say that. So, yeah, West Virginia does get to do that. Again, we're doing this on the fly, but I was wondering if they would make Texas and Oklahoma both play all four of those teams right now. I see Cincinnati, UCF, BYU, but not Houston for Oklahoma. And Houston, BYU, and that's it. No UCF, no Cincinnati for Texas. So, no, I guess they're not going to make those two departing teams play the four new guys.
Yeah. I mean, give those new schools, like a boost. That'd be kind of nice. You know? So, like, BYU will get Texas and Oklahoma. Great. UCF gets just Oklahoma. Houston gets Texas, and the other one is Cincinnati.
Cincinnati gets Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. So they each get one of them. Some get two of them. That's all right. But to get all four, Chris, if you rank 1 through 14 of this new conference, man, those four are gonna be, they're gonna be bottom half teams, correct?
I think so. I mean, I think people forget that, you know, people are gonna look at that Houston game, and maybe there's a little revenge factor in here that's obviously going to be an X factor, but that Houston team was kind of meh last year. I mean, they started the season top 25 and very quickly fell out of it. UCF, meh. Cincinnati was decent. BYU was decent. So, but they're losing some pieces, losing coaches. I don't think that's the worst four teams that you could have. Speaking of, how do you feel like out of everybody, because you can't play everybody. I mean, it's like the old Big East where you're like, oh man, yes, you get to play, you know, USF twice. You get to play South Florida twice. You get to play this crummy team twice. And you know, the good teams once. Did West Virginia get, off the top of your head right here, a good deal on this, or did they get the shaft?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, they're going to get TCU and Texas Tech early. You'd rather have them late. But if West Virginia gets its act together, Houston, Oklahoma State, UCF, BYU in Morgantown, at Oklahoma, that's tough. Cincinnati, Baylor, there are wins to be had there if this is pointing in the right direction. If this program, which typically does at the start of the year and then plays above at the end, I mean, there's a chance that that second half is fruitful. Getting to that second half is going to be hard because Penn State's going to be top five in the preseason. Pitt, probably right in the cusp of the top 25. I'm not sure if they'll be ranked, but probably right up there. Texas Tech, TCU, I expect to both be ranked or darn close. So you're looking at three, maybe four ranked teams before you hit that open weekend. And then the downhill kind of portion, which is Houston on a Thursday. Boy, West Virginia would love to have that one at home.
Mike, I got some breaking news I gotta talk to you about real quick.
Oh,
a note from Neil Brown's agent petitioning the Big 12 to flip West Virginia's schedule so that the second half of the schedule is actually the start of the season.
Yeah, it's it's tough. That's a tough one there. But listen, those are winnable games. If you rank the top six or top seven, bottom seven, I see three teams that would be in the top seven. I see five that would be in the bottom seven. And then Baylor, I'm not sure. We'll see. But like, I'm pretty confident saying that the bottom seven is going to be Houston, Oklahoma State, UCF, BYU, Cincinnati. They'll be in that bottom seven, I think. I mean, that means that West Virginia is dwelling in the bottom half of the conference. You kind of are who you play to some extent when it comes to television and matchups and things like that. And then, you know, late in the season, we'll see. But it could be a heck of a lot worse. They don't get Kansas State, the defending Big 12 conference championship game winner. They don't get Texas, which will probably be the highest Big 12 team in the preseason poll. They don't get Kansas, which scrambled their eggs last season. That's a nice break, I think. So it could be a heck of a lot worse than it is. They don't get Iowa State either, correct? Teams kind of had their number the past couple of years.
I was going to say, to put it out there for people who don't have it right in front of you, the four teams in the Big 12 that West Virginia does not play: Kansas, Kansas State, Iowa State, and Texas.
And three of them are top seven teams, right?
I would say, yeah, probably.
Pretty good break there.
Yep. It seems like, I mean, and I agree with everything you just said there. It's just, the road schedule seems difficult. Like, even though, again, a couple of these teams are going to be bottom, but just talking about the road schedule, Penn State, like Rose Bowl, top 10 next year? Top five?
Right around that top five-ish, I think.
The next road game, TCU, who was in the national championship. Now, granted, I think they're going to be losing a significant number of pieces there, but still, I don't think they're going to just fall off a cliff entirely. Maybe fringe top 25. Houston on a Thursday night. Again, Houston was started last year in top 25 and fell off pretty quickly, but Thursday night on the road, revenge game, Dana Holgorsen revenge game. That's not going to be an easy environment to play in. And then 2 weeks later, UCF. Okay. 2 weeks later, Oklahoma. 2 weeks later, maybe a Baylor team that's at the end of the season. You know, you talked about, hey, you want to play Texas Tech or TCU at the end of the year. Maybe you want to play Baylor at the beginning of the year. I'm not sure. That's a hard schedule on the road, but I think overall West Virginia got a pretty nice break.
All right, let me ramble here for a second. Are you ready? Because I do believe you play the games, but you also play the schedule. So here are some dynamics that I'm going to give to you that I've already processed and that will probably process out loud. So again, forgive me for rambling, but you prep a long time for the first road game. It stinks you're at a powerhouse program, but you've got all summer to get ready to go to Penn State, whatever. Then you're not on the road again until September 30th. You have three straight home games. However, you play a home game on September 23rd. You're not home again until October 21st. And then who knows what happens, Texas Tech game. That's going to be circled for obvious reasons. That's their September 23rd home game. Road at TCU, open weekend, road at Houston. Who knows what happens in there? The apathy or the interest for the October 21st home game against Oklahoma State is going to be mighty interesting. And then the final six games, home, road, home, road, home, road. That's hard. Also, again, playing the schedule here. So, yeah, having stretches where you're at home, where you're on the road, and then alternating road trips every other weekend to end the season, that's tough. But look at who West Virginia plays, but also what that team has the week before. Pitt, the week before, Cincinnati. Texas Tech, the week before. I have no idea what this logo is. It's a T inside of the Texas logo or the Texas State outline. I'm guessing that's Tarleton State.
That was my guess too. I'll try to confirm. Yeah. But yeah.
TCU the week before, SMU rivalry game. That's a tough non-conference game. Houston is open the week before, obviously. So is West Virginia. Oklahoma State the week before, Kansas. That won't be fun. UCF the week before West Virginia at Oklahoma. BYU has to come to Morgantown the week before. At Texas, Oklahoma, the week before, Bedlam, at Oklahoma State, Cincinnati, the week before, at Houston, Baylor, the week before, home against, at TCU. How many road games for a team before they play West Virginia? And how many of those top third teams in the Big 12 before they play West Virginia? Kind of a body blow factor there, where especially later in the season, you know, it's one thing to play a hard team before. It's a little bit more exaggerated late in the season. And if you're playing a hard team the week before you play West Virginia and you're having to travel a road game the week before, that's hard. So, again, that's a minutia thing. But if you look at it, teams are playing on the road before West Virginia and they're playing good opponents before they play West Virginia. I would say top third opponents in the Big 12. Could that be in West Virginia's favor? It should be. Doesn't mean it will, but it should be.
That's pretty remarkable. I think that was literally the last five opponents for West Virginia all play on the road against good opponents before coming to play or before playing WVU.
And again, like the first half is like, do you want Cincinnati if you're paid in the season? No. Do you want TCU? Do you want SMU before in a rivalry game? No, that's going to be tough. It's like they do have a nice nod in the schedule there.
Say it, Mike. How many wins? 9, 10, 11?
Well, let's get to that conversation now. I don't know if this was a Freudian thing by Neil or if he said one thing and didn't mean it, but when he does say that that they have to have a winning season, I think it's fair to say he has to be in a bowl game this year. And we can argue about whether or not 6 wins in a bowl appearance, 7 wins in a bowl, whatever, is that going to be enough? I have no idea. Quantity of games, quantity of the schedule, quantity of wins, I should say, quantity, how about this? Quantity of wins and quality of the season could be two very different things here too. But I just strongly feel like if they go 5-7, he's probably not here for 2024. Maybe I'm wrong. But he did say they have to have a winning season. Are there 6 wins on this? And then beyond that, is 7-6 with a bowl win going to do it? I don't know. But here's my question, Chris. The I don't knows. Do those go away a little bit based on what we are determining to be I think as we talk this out loud, a friendlier schedule than it could be. Does that change the expectations for the season? Like, so for example, if they go 6-6, it doesn't matter if they win the bowl game. Now you might say, wait a minute, 6 wins in this regular season isn't going to be impressive enough. Make a change if they're just 6-6. Certainly if they're 5-7. Do you expect 7 more wins, 8 more wins? I don't know. But let me ask you this in a shorter way. Does the quality of the schedule change the trajectory that this season has to follow now?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm going to answer your question by saying this. You mentioned something about, you know, you mentioned him trying to get to 6 wins, West Virginia trying to get to 6 wins. And I almost wanted to interject there and say 6 wins after the bye week. Like, I mean, obviously that's very difficult. That would be 6-1. But if you told me right now, looking at the schedule, that West Virginia went 7-5 and they started 1-4 and went 6-1 after the bye, I would not be stunned. Like, I think it's a very difficult start to the schedule, and then I do think it gets considerably easier. You know, again, it's a little bit tough going on that road for that Thursday night against Houston. Houston will be decent, I imagine. Oklahoma State, what's happening at Oklahoma State is what happened to West Virginia last year with the transfer portal. I mean, they fell apart towards the end of last season and have been decimated by transfers since the end of the season. Mm-hmm. UCF, okay.
Wait. That doesn't happen anywhere else.
No, nowhere else. Just Morgantown.
Okay.
But yeah, UCF, and then BYU is going to be good, but that's at home. Oklahoma, obviously tough on the road, especially. Man, yeah, like is 7-5 even good enough anymore? Like, does it shade to, you knew my stance. I said it on here long before the schedule came out that I said they put it in the spot where it's almost like 8 or 9 and nothing fewer. And now that I look at this schedule, I really feel that way.
So the question now, Chris, you are the draft king. Over under win total right now, what would you set it at?
Mm-hmm. Before we get there, let's remember back to last year when we talked about this, because the line opened at 5. And you and I said on the podcast, oh my God, hammer that. They can get to 6. At the very least, everything goes wrong and they still get to 5 and you get your money back. We might have had to sweat that out
to the very end, but that didn't end up being true. And I thought that line was low. So I'm repeating that story in part because Vegas doesn't believe. And they haven't believed in a while. And West Virginia's given them no reason to believe. So I want to say they'll set the line in a similar spot, like 5.5, 6, right in that range.
Okay. I have no recollection of that conversation that you and I maybe had in the podcast last year. Don't remember that at all.
I'm gonna put those words in your mouth. Don't worry about it.
Listen, there's a way you can find these things on in certain corners of the world right now. A future for West Virginia before the schedule came out, 4.5 wins.
I think that's fair, especially what we knew of the schedule up to that point, which was basically just, man, you got to go to Penn State and Pitt before you even get to Big 12 play. But yeah, I legitimately think seeing the schedule now raises the bar for West Virginia by a win from 4. Again, if it was 4.5 before, if I were setting the line, I would absolutely set it at 5.5 now.
One more take from me before I surprise you with something here. Knowing where the bye-bye weekend isn't and looking at the back half of the schedule, barring an 0-blank start, 0-3, 0-4, which I don't foresee because you had to lose to Duquesne. If they lose to Duquesne, print the t-shirts, fire everybody. Barring something like that, just disastrous, I do not believe you'll see a midseason coaching change just because the back half of the schedule gives you opportunities. The only caveat there would be if people on the inside are like, this is broken. And if it's apparent on the outside that it's broken and the people on the inside determine that too, then okay, fine. But like, I just wonder why you would bail on the back half of that schedule. And because guess what? You don't have Texas this year. You're probably not going to have Oklahoma next year if they balance this thing out. And you're not going to have Texas and Oklahoma 2 years from now. So the schedule is going to look a lot more friendlier, I think, absent those two teams than maybe in the future. But this little thought bubble is forming above my head as we sit here and discuss this. I just wonder if and why you would make a coaching change midstream. Again, unless it's just inevitable and why wait, do it.
Wait, so not making a coaching change midseason was the point that there's still another point coming that's going to surprise me? This wasn't the one?
Perhaps.
This wasn't the hot take? There's another one hotter than that?
I just think a lot of people look at the schedule and be like, wait a minute, they have 2 weeks between games here. If they're 1-4, you know, cut them loose. If they're 2-3 and it looks bad and the scoring difference was bad, cut them loose. Like, that's obviously a story arc here for sure. But I just wonder, knowing that they don't really have the open week, which means you don't have tremendous time. You have some, a little bit more, obviously, but not the traditional space. Not that you actually have to have it, but also that back half of the schedule is going to give you opportunities there too. So I just wonder about that. And then also, it's sloppy to make a midseason coaching change. And I just wonder if it's necessary, but didn't rehearse this take. Maybe need to go to the workshop and chisel, polish, sand some things, but it just seems to me more likely than not, absolutely not. I would say less likely than you would see one during the regular season. Finally, Chris, let me go into my DMs. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to kind of redact it and remove some stuff here. This is from a woman. He says, "Hi, Mike. I was wondering if you've heard anything about the football schedule and when it might come out. Long story short, my boyfriend proposed to me in December, but trying to get him to move forward planning for a wedding. I prefer the fall. It's one of the dreams I had growing up. We picked out a location, colors, bridesmaid, grooms, and we haven't picked out a date." Keep that out there. Long story short, I was born in the United States, but I grew up abroad. Came back to the States for college. I went to a small school. I really wasn't familiar with the concept of college football as this cultural phenomenon. Strange to me, but I've learned. It's grown on me. I understand he really likes Mountaineers. I know who he follows. He's subscribed to your website. We listen to podcasts and car rides, including road trips to some of the football games and basketball games that we can make. Blah, 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 blah. Gets into some things about tailgates being important. She understands this and that. She wants to pin down a date for the wedding. She wants a fall wedding. And then says, is it too much to ask for a fall wedding. Is it too much to ask to find one open spot on the schedule where we can do this? Should I pick a road game instead of a home game? And when do you think I'll know? Well, she knows now. This was from January 18th. So she had to wait 2 weeks. My apologies. Answered her, said I would get back to her when I could. Hopefully she's seen the schedule now and she can pick it out. Bummer for her. No open weekend. But she could probably fit a Saturday one in, right? Before or after the Houston game.
I would suggest the after the Houston game. I mean, I think that this past year, that was when, I took my vacation out to Colorado with my wife. We left the day after the Baylor. Baylor was Thursday night, right? And it was around the same time, like October 13th on a Thursday, left Friday morning. Because that bye week is before it. But you're still open for something happening that weekend. I know the previous not so hot take says maybe not, but it's still lingering around that time. But after the Houston game, I think you can be all right to do it then. That's when I would pick it.
Yeah, I'm going to go different, Chris. I'm going to say do it the day of the TCU game. It's a road game, but then you got honeymoon potential for the week after because there's no game on the 7th.
Mm.
And then now a question she has here is about later on in this, because again, I'm trying not to be proprietary here because there's some things that's going to give it away, I think, or I don't want it to give it away. But but she says like potential for anniversaries, road trips and things like that. I know it means a lot. I think I already said that before. They could have their anniversary and go on a road trip every year or have an anniversary tailgate on the 30th. I don't know about that. I was a dummy and I got married on August 25th. I was covering basketball at the time. And if I remember the details correctly, we were like, probably shouldn't do a spring wedding because maybe the team will be in the season or in the tournament. I was okay with waiting until April. My wife was not. She couldn't wait to marry me. So we did August 25th because I just never thought I would cover college football. I don't know. But even that's okay because there's no games and we can kind of go away and come back and not miss any of the season. So I guess I kind of understand that. But listen, people are going to be jerks about fall wedding because that's a thing. Like you're going to see it online. I would just kind of ignore that. It's one day a year. People are not going to come to your wedding because they want to be home to watch the TCU game. I don't think you need those people in your life, right? Would people not want to come to your wedding because they have season tickets for the, pick game? Listen, you're probably going to have a hard time getting people to come to your wedding for that one. Texas Tech, not so sure. Got to be prudent with your schedule. But yeah, that honeymoon thing I hadn't thought about. That makes a TCU game kind of a good idea, no?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. That would make it better because, yeah, unless you're, especially if you're a honeymooner that's going to go 5 to 7 days. Because, yeah, if you go Houston, wedding on Saturday. And then you do your, I guess, if you go straight to your honeymoon right from your wedding and mm-hmm. go 5 days and be back to watch UCF from home or Oklahoma State mm-hmm. game in person, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rank the games here on wedding date. Last, Penn State, right? First, Duquesne. That would be the one, right? But then
yeah.
No one there because you're honeymoon and maybe you're missing the Pitt game. That's a home game too. In between is kind of a toss up. Man, I really like that TCU. It's a road game. You could have it on the background in the wedding. If he really wants to be like in a corner with his friends watching the game, you could pop in. You can give him a pepperoni roll or something like that. But like, listen, you're going to do the electric slide. You're going to do the chicken dance. It's your wedding. And then you got that whole week off after that. And then even more time. If you wanted to take a prolonged wedding, you might even... Listen, ma'am, he might owe you something for this. If you really want to lean into this, listen, we can get married on the 30th of September. But I'm going to want a longer honeymoon because there's no game on the 7th. There's not a game on the 14th. I think you can make this work. I encourage you to.
I think so, too. I'd rank them. Yeah, Pitt. I think, you know, Pitt at home, that's big. But Penn State, Cohen's also the season opener, which is obviously huge. You kind of just got to forget about those two, trying to do it those two weekends. But hey, to be honest, other than that, I mean, there's some good games on here and there's some wins on there for West Virginia, I think. But other than those two, I wouldn't consider changing any plans.
I will solicit feedback here on the comments on Twitter, and I will get back to her. If you are a man, if you're a woman, if you have thoughts and passions about this, fall wedding is the thing. Like I said, people are going to be like that just because it's cool to be like that, and fall wedding is like a derisive thing, whatever. But if you have advice for this reader, how she handle it with her husband, maybe how the husband should handle it too. Like, wake up, guy. It's your wedding. It's one day for the rest of your life, but it's one day. Please let me know. I'll see if I can get her back on her DMs and give her some info on this. We took a turn, Chris.
That we did. But this is what happens when the schedule gets released 3 months later than usual.
Yeah, like I feel bad because like the boyfriend was maybe going to propose like in November. I was like, I can't wait any longer. I'm going December around Christmas. I'm presuming around Christmas, and all of a sudden he had to wait like another month. That's tough. But I have it. Expectations set because the schedule is out. I think there's only one way we can sign off, Chris. We say bye-bye. Until then, I'm Mike Casaza.
And I'm Chris Anderson.
We'll talk to you then.
There's a very bright, shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Go to Paramount+ to try it free. Terms apply.